Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Schmozone Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Fusion CBD Products, some of the best CBD on the market. I love Fusion CBD Products. We sip on their CBD sports water every podcast. They have their cardio energy mix. They have their CBD intense relief rub. They have their CBD oil. I pop that into the coffee in the morning. I love it. It's great. Check it out. Use the promo code SCHMO. Get 20% off. You will not be disappointed. It's going to help your recovery. This episode is also brought to you by Egg Weights. I love using Egg Weights. They're the only hand weights in the world that conform to your body's natural motion. Use these things for shadow boxing, for all your different types of workouts. They have half pounds all the way up to 2 pounds. Look, if you're looking to improve the speed for your hand movements when you want to get into the gym, use these. So much better than normal hand weights. I love these. These are my custom schmo ones. 2 pounds, they have up to that. You can use those for power. They have their bundles. Check them out. Use the promo code SCHMO10 to get 10% off. It's a great holiday gift. Gyms are closing. You can work out at home. You can work out at the park. Use your Egg Weights. They have an amazing case right here. Check it out. Go to eggweights.com. Promo code SCHMO10, 10% off. Let's start this show. 1, 2, 3. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Schmo Zone Podcast. This is episode number 45. I'm Dave Schmolenson, a.k.a. The Schmo. My co-host is...
Helen Esports.
And you're feeling festive because we are getting close to Christmas.
We are, yeah. I woke up this morning, felt like drinking the latte, right? Caramel lattes, just feeling in the moment, in the vibes.
You were in the schmoment.
Yes.
We went through the Starbucks drive-thru this morning. We normally don't ever go through Starbucks. We always brew our own coffee, but it was a festive morning this morning, huh?
Yeah. You know, sometimes you just feel like holding one of those cups when it's cold outside and you're like, you know what? I feel warmer instantly.
Yeah, we say cold outside. We're in Las Vegas. What is that, 50-something degrees? Is it really that cold?
Yeah, the high today is 66. The low is 43.
We are blessed to live in the Southwest. This isn't cold. Like, this is a spring or early summer day in the Midwest where I grew up.
Yeah, what was that like in the winter? Because I'm not used to, like, even seeing snow. If it's snowing here, you know it's one of those rare days.
So I remember I would wake up super early in the morning. This is like the routine senior year of high school. I would, when I would drive to school or park it at the parking lot or whatever. So my Jeep would be out on the driveway.
You had a Jeep?
I had a Jeep because you need four-wheel drive to drive through the winters. Yeah. So I, if I did not spray the windshield overnight, it would be so hard to get the frost and the ice off the windshield in the morning, especially on the colder mornings in the winter. So I'd have to spray the windshield overnight. So when I defrosted the windows, the ice would melt easier in the morning. So I'd wake up in the morning. So the night before, let me preface this, the night before, I'd make sure I spray the windshield. Just some stuff. I forgot the name of it. Whatever. A spray.
Windshield spray.
You can get it at your Pep Boys or local auto store. And then in the morning, I'd wake up, I'd crawl out of bed, I'd start the car, I'd go and then back inside, I'd take a shower, fall asleep in the shower, make breakfast. And by the time I was ready to go back in the car, 15, 20 minutes from that time, 25 minutes from that time, the car would finally be warm. Start the car, I'd scrape the remaining ice off the windshields that or the windows that I couldn't get to, that weren't defrosted by the time of being heated from the car, and I'd drive to school.
Did you guys have a lot of snow days?
There was a few. You'd be lucky if you get one or two a year, but I probably had at least half a dozen snow days in my lifetime growing up.
So where it's like you just can't drive or...
Basically, yeah. The common misconception, I think, with snow days was that you just can't get there because of the amount of snow.
Yeah.
It's just that the buses that leave in the morning, they leave at like 4, 4:30 a.m. in the morning. There's too much ice for them to get out of the structure, to get them out of the building, so they can't go on their routes. And then also, the streets might not be plowed in time. There's not enough salt on the ground for traction for the wheels. I don't know, for anyone who doesn't live in a colder climate listening to this podcast, this could be completely foreign, but if you're on the East Coast or in the Midwest, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm West Coast, Vegas born and raised, so this 43 degrees this morning, you know, this is cold to me.
Like I said, this is a spring or a brisk fall, early fall day in the Midwest. This is nothing. This is beautiful weather to me.
But then again, in the summertime when it's 120 here, or it gets up to 120, I don't think it... Did it hit 120 in the summer? I don't know.
It feels that way.
Yeah, it felt like it, but I love it.
You can fry an egg on the pavement here on those hot days.
I love those days.
Yes.
My favorite.
Yes. So this is episode 45 of the Schmozone podcast. If I didn't say that already, for those tuning in, our guest today is going to be the one and only Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. He will be coming in here shortly later in the show, so stay tuned for that. He's going to be the new headline of the December 19th fight card against Jeff Neal here, UFC Vegas 17, the last fight card of the year.
I can't believe it. It's already almost mid-December, like you said, almost holiday time, and we've been kind of in this thing, this pandemic, for a year.
Yes.
Almost.
And man, 2020, it seems like it's, you know, come and gone pretty quickly. I just remember how excited we were for the upcoming year, 2020, 2020 vision. Everyone was excited.
I even wrote it on our whiteboard at home.
Yeah. And we've been able to plug through, and we're coming up to the end here. Less than a month left of 2020.
Well, the Schmozone, this podcast, we started this in 2020. So thank you so much to all the listeners, all the fans, for those who sport a Schmozone t-shirt, which you could check out at theschmozone.com. Thank you so much for your continued support. And of course, to those who are listening right now.
Of course. We appreciate that, everybody. Check it out if you haven't already. So let's recap. We were at some fights, UFC Vegas 16,
yes,
this past week, where Jack Hermanson lost to Marvin Vettori.
Yeah, Marvin, he looked great. I mean, in the first round, right? Didn't a lot of people think the fight was going to end?
I definitely did, too. I thought they could have stopped it in the first round. But, man, Jack Hermanson is extremely tough and durable. That guy just doesn't quit.
Props to him.
And he would get stronger as time would progress throughout the fight, but he just didn't have enough. You know, I think they scored one round for Jack in the third round, that was, but you know, Marvin won four rounds to one. And you even brought this up to me after the fight. It's like Marvin Vettori has been ranked number 13, and yes, it's been very hard for him to get one of those top contenders, top fights, top 10 fighters to match up with him, and he's been calling them out for, it seems like, a little over a year now. And in a matter of, let's say, a couple of weeks, his life's completely turned around, because now he's got the victory over a top five guy. Back in the rankings here, he's climbed up, and he's a contender. He's exactly where he said he should be.
Yeah, and like you said, that's what I told you after the fight, where I just felt like he's where he should have been this whole time. I feel, yeah, I mean, it was probably because, you know, not being able to get someone maybe higher in the rankings to get those fights, because right now I know you love looking at the UFC rankings, especially after, you know, a fight weekend. They haven't updated it yet, unfortunately, so Marvin's still ranked number 13, but even like looking at these current rankings, like where he's at right now, it's like number 12 is Omari, number 11 Edmund Shahbazyan, number 10, Chris Weidman, 9, Uriah Hall, 8, Kelvin Gastelum, 7, Derek Brunson, 6, Darren Till, 5, Yoel Romero, who we'll talk about momentarily, who is no longer with the UFC, then fourth, Jack Hermanson, who he beat, then third, Jared Cannonier, Paulo Costa, Robert Whittaker, and of course the champ, Izzy. But just looking at that and the guys that are, that were at least ranked before him.
Yeah, he's definitely going to soar in the rankings. And one thing that I think is always overlooked is his teammates, Calvin Gastelum. Yes. They train in Huntington Beach. They train out of Kings MMA. Coach Rafael Cordero was in the corner of the legend Mike Tyson a week before Marvin's fight. So he goes from Mike Tyson to Marvin Vettori. Two headline events, two back-to-backs, and I think that's pressure that's not talked about. I brought up in the interview with Marvin, hey, you got Coach Rafael Cordero cornering you after the legend. Is that some added pressure there? You got to come away with a victory, man. You got to keep riding those highs, and he certainly did that. But he's got a top 10 guy to train with in Calvin Gastelum. And Gastelum's most recent opponent was Jack in Fight Island. We were there for that fight. So it's like he trains with Calvin. So it wasn't another first look. I know he's been on the same fight cards as Jack and other promotions before the UFC, yeah. But he's helped Calvin train for him specifically. He's helped Calvin train for these top 10 guys continuously. He's there right there in the gym with him. He's got such an amazing sparring partner all the time. It was only a matter of time for him to get his shine, and here we are.
I know, and I have to say, like, I'm happy for him to finally just be, you know, where I feel where he's belonged this whole time. Because let's not forget, too, a lot of people argue that, did he give Israel the toughest challenge, right? Yeah. A couple years ago, back in 2018, April.
And now Izzy's situation, going up to 205, fighting Jan Blachowicz. He's already beaten Paulo Costa, mm-hmm. Robert Whittaker, the two guys that are in the top five.
Yoel,
who's currently in the top five based on the rankings, even though he's
until
now out of the UFC.
Until
they update. So, you know, he gives himself a great opportunity to step in there for potential title fight or one fight away from that title fight. So you just brought up his name, Yoel Romero. That might be a good segue into talking about him real quick.
Yeah. Were you surprised?
Yeah. I mean, look, I know Dana, and he even brought this up at the most recent press conference. You know, this is a young man's game, a young man's sport, and Yoel's going up there in age. No one, do we really know his age? Is he 44? Is he 46? Is he 42? Is he in his 40s? Yes. We just don't know maybe the exact age. But look, you know, he's obviously lost his most recent fights. Wasn't like, oh, he brutally lost. They were close fights to an
against
extent.
Against Izzy, Paulo, Robert.
Yeah, some more entertaining than others, certainly. But he is in there. He's still dangerous.
Yeah.
If he fights some of these younger guys, the Edmund Shahbazians, like, who's going to win that fight? You know, it's hard to bet against Yoel Romero.
Yeah.
It's an interesting
he's
time.
Tough.
I certainly think he's valuable, but what's more interesting is that I think the PFL and Bellator are not interested in him.
No, bare knuckle is, but I'm surprised that they're not interested in Yoel.
But the PFL took Verdum, but they are not taking Yoel. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts, but I certainly think Yoel Romero can still fight. He's still marketable.
1,000,000%. And it's not like he's been getting knocked out. You know, it's like his past three losses. I know he's lost three in a row, but they were all decisions. And it was by what? When he fought Robert, it was the champ at the time.
Fought him twice.
The champ, yeah.
Two great fights with Robert.
And Paulo was like, what, the number one ranked contender. It's like the top guys, and they went to decision.
And UFC 241, where he fought Paulo, that was a really close fight.
Yeah.
That was a really close fight.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think he'll land on his feet. He's entertaining as hell. I mean, look, the highest grossing views YouTube video I have to date is with Yoel La Candela.
He's really funny too. I know, great personality. He tried to teach me how to salsa dance, and might I add, I cannot dance. I think we've spoken about this before.
Yeah.
So I think it was after that Yoel interview, I readdressed that. I can't dance.
Yeah.
So, but he tried to teach you salsa dance, or did he just go like?
I think he just started singing and dancing and moving, and then it was in the moment. We were there at the Super Bowl,
so
Radio
funny.
Row, and it just happened.
I loved it.
It worked out that way.
That was so fun.
It was a great time. So another topic of interest in the world of combat sports, not particularly MMA, but boxing. There's a lot of boxing news going on these days, a lot of different avenues we can take. We can talk about the YouTube side, or we could talk about the big title fight, the Anthony Joshua, yeah. Kubrat Pulev,
which was it also last year where you did the Schmo versus the Pro against Kubrat Pulev?
Taking body shots from the guy that's going to be fighting for a lot of the belts against Anthony Joshua. This guy could literally get in the equation and ruin the potential showdown between Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua if he gets victory. Yeah. The first champion from Bulgaria, the first Bulgarian heavyweight boxing champion ever. That's what he's going for. He's got a country on his back.
Well, you've been in the ring with him. What's he like?
I've been in the ring with him.
The Schmo's been in the ring with him,
taking a couple of his body shots that I'm sure were not at 100%, but they were over 50%. And guy's an animal. He's a monster. He's a big boy. I don't know if he's got the same athleticism that Joshua has, but I know he certainly has the power, if not a greater power than him.
I also do have to address the, is it the white elephant in the room?
What's the white elephant in the room?
I still get it till this day, which pisses me off, like really bad. I know you're angry because I'm about to rant. But ever since, I don't know, that one video, like, look, I just mentioned I do not dance. So I definitely do not know how to lap dance, even as the Schmo. I'm just kidding. But it's just really annoying when people keep saying that, oh, are you that girl that was dancing on him or whatever? And look, I've gone to the point where I'm just like, okay, trolls will be trolls, whatever. But that's like really annoying because it's not even my personality.
Yeah. So there's a different Asian girl. Older Asian girl.
Yeah, and, then people think it was not me. And they're like, oh, is she that one? Is she the lap dancer? No, like, look, you don't want to see me dance.
Yeah.
I can't.
That's true.
Or sing.
Yeah. And anyone that literally knows who we are and follows our stuff and just does like a YouTube search to see our history of who we've interviewed, we both interviewed Kubrat a couple of times. And,
Never kissed him. Sorry. Don't know what it's like.
Only had fun with that. But man, do you think he gets it done against Joshua?
I think it'll be a good fight.
She doesn't want to make a prediction right here.
Well, you know, maybe behind the scenes, I'll tell you my prediction.
Okay. So you don't want to tell the fans. There it is.
What's your prediction if you're putting me on the spot like that?
Fine. I'll put you on the spot. I think Anthony Joshua gets it done. But I hope I'm wrong, because I think we could create some more content with Pulev if I'm wrong. But I don't care either way, because I think they're going to be good fights. I think they will for sure. But Kubrat Pulev putting a monkey wrench in that story makes things very interesting, because then Tyson Fury, what does he do next? Because that might open the door for the Wilder 3 fight. Because literally, obviously, there's bickering back and forth. Deontay Wilder said a lot of different things to him in regards to cheating, about the scandal, about potentially putting these egg weights. They talked to our sponsor right here. Egg weights. Did he have egg weights in the glove? I don't know. I highly doubt it. But he accused him of cheating and stuff like that. So then why does Tyson Fury want to do that rematch? But guess what? He's been holding out for the big payday, the showdown of the UK, the best fighter in the world. And is it out of the UK? And hey, if Joshua loses, I think all signs point to having the Wilder fight the third time.
Well, I'm actually glad you bring this up, because then I think about, you know, those big fights being made or not being made, right? Because then I think about also this past weekend, Danny Garcia, Errol Spence Jr., and Terrence Crawford.
Who didn't even go in the ring.
Yeah, but that's my point. So I don't know why I just thought of, you know, those big fights being made or not being made, because then we look and then it's like, what leads to, in boxing, like a Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul?
Yeah, well, you know? I think what leads to that, and that's a really good point, is we're seeing this now because we're not getting the best fights. I'm shocked. I know he's a top-ranked guy, and we're going to get to this really, really soon, because I mentioned that our guest today is the number 5 ranked welterweight in the world,
the nicest motherfucker in the world. Yes, I will
he
swear.
Said it.
It's worth it. He's worth it. He's headlining the December 19th fight card, the last fight card of the year for the UFC against Jeff Neal. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, thanks for joining us.
Anytime, my friend. Are you kidding? I'm so glad to be here. It's been a while, man. It's been a while since we chatted.
It has, and this is the first time we're chatting with me being out of character. This is your first time on the Schmozone podcast.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure and it's an honor. I appreciate you having me on.
Of course, man. We appreciate you making the time. You got a huge fight coming up. I know you're training. I know you wanted to get one in here before the end of the year. It's Jeff Neal. Right off the bat, man, I know you're headlining the card. Did you expect to headline the card when you found out that the Chimaev fight was called off against Leon Edwards?
I kind of figured that they were going to maybe put somebody in to fight Khamzat, just because, you know, he's just with the UFC. But whenever I train for 3-5-minute round fights, I always train those championship rounds. You know, if I'm sparring, doing back work or mitt work, always doing 5-5s. So I was prepared to move up, which I'm glad they did. You know, I think this is going to be a great fight. Jeff Neal's super tough, and it's going to be fireworks for sure.
Do they give you a little extra money now from going to 3-5 rounds for being the headline fight? Do you get some more money in the bank account?
I think so. I mean, hopefully they'll pay us, you know, moving up to the main event for sure, man. But this is not new for me to move, you know, to do the 5-5s and headline some fights. And as you know, so this is something that I'm used to doing. And I think Jeff Neal's an intelligent guy. I think he's prepared for 5-5s as well. So I'm looking to step out there and fight against the best Jeff Neal ever. And that's mentally, that's what I prepare for.
Well, speaking of Jeff Neal, he has been undefeated since being in the UFC. Just kind of curious to think, get your thoughts on how you guys kind of match up stylistically as well.
Well, both strikers for sure. I think he's got more of a boxing style. I like to switch sides, you know, my hands down. Everybody knows kind of how I fight. A lot of kicks. Jeff Neal, he's got kicks too. Been knocking some dudes out with head kicks. He almost knocked out. He staggered and Mike Perry. He knocked out some other guy. I forgot his name. Completely cold with a head kick. So that's another element to his game that I have to prepare for. I've also seen some wrestling skills from him too. So that's what makes this game so fun for me. You know, I like going out there and trying to figure out my opponent. And sometimes you got to do that in the octagon. You know, there's only so much you can get out of watching film. And I got to be able to go out there mid-fight and be able to adapt to him if he wants to take the fight to the ground. So I'm prepared for wherever it goes. If he wants to keep it standing, if he wants to get me to the ground, I'm ready for it.
Wonderboy, I wanted to ask you this question. You have some huge victories so far in your UFC career, and in your kickboxing career too, I might add, but who would you say has been the biggest victory so far in your career? Has it been a Masvidal? Has it been a Vicente Luque, your most recent fight, a Rory McDonald, a Robert Whittaker? Who would you say, I guess maybe someone who's not there, who would you say has been your biggest win so far in your career?
I think what made the biggest jump for me was when I defeated Johnny Hendricks in the first round. One of the scariest fighters that I had to prepare for, just because, you know, the Johnny Hendricks that we're all used to seeing, great wrestling and it can knock you out with one punch. So preparing for him, it was very nerve-wracking. But at the same time, not taking anything away from him, it was fairly easy, just because you've seen him fight once, you've seen him fight 100 times. He doesn't change. Guys like Jeff Neal, and I faced guys like him in the past, like Rory McDonald, who are good everywhere, you know, a little bit harder to prepare for, you know, but that makes it more exciting for me. But I think it was Johnny Hendricks for sure. And then it was Rory McDonald, because he was the prospect. He should have been the welterweight champion at the time, because he was just very good everywhere. Phenomenal jiu-jitsu, good wrestling. I mean, he trained with George St. Pierre since he was a kid. So I would say either Johnny Hendricks or Rory McDonald.
And you've been successful in this sport for such a long time. What do you credit to your longevity and being able to remain at the highest level for such a long time?
I think it's on, number one, I keep a small circle of people around me. You know, good teammates, good coaches. Obviously, my father is a part of my camp. He's my main coach. Good, positive people around you, you know, that, you know, in your ups and downs, you know, you win fights, you lose fights. They're there to, you know, keep that positivity going and bring you back up. Number two, I think it's how you train. I think, you know, I'm 37, I'll be 38 in February, not the oldest guy in the division, but I've been fighting since I was 15 years old. And, I still feel great. I feel like I'm 25 years old. I've been to many gyms, MMA gyms, and I've actually, you know, got my gear out, ready to spar, and looked down on the mat and saw how they spar. And I took my gear off and I left. You know, you can't train well. You can't condition your brain, for one. You can condition your body, but you can't condition your brain. And a lot of these gyms go out there and try and knock each other out every time they step out in the, you know, for a sparring match. It's a full-on fight. And, you know, the longevity there is, you know, several years at the most, if that's the way you train. For us, we pad up, man. I wear 18-ounce gloves. We pad up headgear, shin pads, knee pads, forearm pads. We always keep a light to the head. Of course, accidents happen, but we have a lot of respect for each other. And in big MMA gyms like that, there's a lot of egos. There's a lot of people who are just about themselves and want to prove something. At our school here, we got great guys. We have high-level guys come through every day. And, you know, one of the things that we do is we have a saying, you know, leave your ego at the door. And, you know, it's all respect. We go out there, we train hard, we spar, and we laugh about it, and we learn from each other. So I think that has a big part in why I'm still going the way I'm going.
And you're such a nice guy. You're willing to learn. Your brother-in-law, Chris Weidman, former UFC middleweight champion, decorated wrestler, able to learn from that side of things too. So I'm sure you guys are able to help each other a lot. And I know he most recently, a few months ago, he moved from New York down to the Carolinas.
Yes.
So he's closer to you.
Yeah. How's
he
adjusting?
He's closer to home now.
Is he enjoying it?
He loves it. He loves it, man. He said, I wish I came down here years ago. You know, he lives in a place called Fort Mill, which is about an hour and a half away from where we are. It's kind of in between Charlotte and us. He's got a family in Charlotte and family here in Greenville. So he kind of wanted to be in an in-between spot, you know, so he's able to go see both. But yeah, he was here last week. He'll be here tomorrow to help me, you know, get ready for the Jeff Neal fight. We got some touch sparring and some drilling we're going to do. Chris Weidman is one of the best wrestlers, I think, in the UFC. You know, he's a three-time All-American, very, very strong opponent. And me knowing that Jeff Neal's a strong opponent, he's a strong welterweight. I mean, just look at Jeff Neal, you know he's a strong guy. And he can put you away with one punch. I needed somebody like Chris Weidman in my camp. And he's helped me get to where I am today, especially facing off against these good wrestlers such as Jake Ellenberger and you know, Johnny Hendricks and Roy McDonald and Tyron Woodley. We met actually for his first fight with Anderson Silva, and been a part of his camps ever since. And he's been a part of mine. And next thing you know, he's family. My brother ended up marrying his sister. So they have two kids together. It's funny how things work, man, in this game, which is what I love about it. You know, fighting in the UFC and training with other people, you get, you know, to know people and relationships that you normally wouldn't outside of the MMA world.
100%, man. And your outlook is so great. And I hate to bring up sore things, but we're going to come full circle here and master it, because the Greenville card where you headlined, you didn't get the result you wanted. You fought Pettis. And now Pettis is fighting on your card, man. Here in Vegas, he was a late addition, and he's fighting here. He's got a fight.
Yes, man, he's going to fight. Yeah, man, I wanted to fight in Greenville, South Carolina. And it was kind of weird how that whole thing was set up. Like, I wondered why that fight with me and Pettis wasn't in Greenville. You know, it might have turned out differently. But, you know, things happen, and I ended up getting knocked out, wasn't able to fight. I know the UFC wanted me to, but I just feel like I wasn't ready. You know, making sure everything up here it was nice and healed up and ready to go before I stepped back out there. But I was there for the fight. The fans loved it. And yeah, Anthony Pettis he's fighting in Vegas. He's going to be rocking and rolling. And, you know, it's really cool because you learn a lot about somebody after you fight them, like deeply. I know it's kind of weird to say, and only fighters maybe can understand this, but you know, when you're out there and you're fighting somebody, you learn a lot about them, where their spirit's at. You've seen guys out there in the fight game who are put in uncomfortable situations, and next thing you know, they're looking for a way out, you know? But then you fight guys who you're giving it their all, your all. I mean, you've hit them with every shot. You've knocked them down. They still get back up and keep coming forward. Like, that's the kind of guy that I want to have, you know, to have my back in a real situation. Like Vicente Luque and other fighters that I faced, you know, there's no giving up in those guys, man. And you learn a lot about people and their spirit, you know, how strong that spirit is, which is pretty cool. I love it, man. And Anthony Pettis has got a very strong period. He's been in some tough situations too. And I mean, even during our fight, you know, I was, you know, beating him in the first round. I remember looking across to the other side of the octagon and seeing his nose was busted and bleeding, and there was no giving up, man. He ended up finishing me, which is cool, man. Hands of steel. God, that's the old Superman punch, man. But it's all good. You know, I'm glad to see where he's at. And I learned a lot. Number one, that was like the biggest fear I've ever had. I've got close to 90 something fights, you know, with kickboxing and MMA combined, and never been knocked out. So that was always a fear. And to be honest with you, it's not that bad. I just woke up in the back, you know, I didn't have a headache or anything.
And so, you were able to go on social media and talk about it too from the hospital. I remember that.
Yeah. You remember that? That was crazy. Yeah. Dad poking at me too. I was sitting there in the hospital chair, you know, telling everybody and all the fans that I was okay. But, and my dad picking at me, yeah, man, you got knocked out by a smaller guy too. I'm like, come on, Dad, man. Come on. They keep you humble, you know?
For sure.
Then in November, you bounce back with a win over Vicente Luque. Kind of talking about your positive spirit, your mentality, and obviously being the nicest mother ever around. Is there anything that ever gets you mad, though?
I think Chris Wyman could tell you. There are very few things that upset me. And one of them is people talking in a movie theater. If I don't care if it's the previews or not. I was in Long Island. Me and Chris Wyman were there for camp. We were getting ready. We were both getting ready for fights. And I think this is the first time I've ever seen Chris Wyman uncomfortable. There was, during the previews, there was some kids, you know, maybe in their 20s, just talking really loud behind me. And I'll turn around, just sitting there staring at him. And Chris Wyman looks at me like, Steven, it's okay, man. It's the previews. I'm like, dude, I want to watch the previews. I'm sitting there staring at these guys. And we ended up talking, you know, back and forth with each other. And nothing ended up happening. But that's one of my pet peeves, man. You know, I pay the money to get a cinematic adventure. That's what I want. You know what I'm saying? Don't be talking in the movie theater.
These phones have killed movie theaters. I'm telling you, the kids texting, the calling, you know, whatever it is, 100%. Social media, it's killed it. It's killed movie theaters.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
Because you're one of those who watch, like, all the previews from the beginning, right? Like, make sure you're on time for the previews.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I want to know what's coming out, you know? I'm a huge movie buff, and especially during fight times, you know, when you're training for camp, you want to kind of get your mind and lose yourself in another world. That's the way to do it. You go to the movie theater. Of course, now they're not even open. So I'm having a video game. I have my own Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/WonderboyFaith. I play video games.
She plays with our neighbor.
Oh, my gosh.
You play with our neighbor.
Who's your neighbor?
He lives downstairs. So he plays with your brother. His name's David. He's told me this. He's literally stopped me, and he's said, I play with Wonderboy's brother.
What?
Yeah, and it's a crazy story. We know you got your Twitch channel. We know you have your amazing YouTube channel. You're a YouTuber, by the way, Matt.
We call you a YouTuber. Yeah. Yes, that's so cool, man. It's a small world, dude. And it's funny how where the world has gone. Like, I have relationships, close relationships with people I've never met, you know? And I know certain things about them. If their mom is sick, they're asking about my dogs, you know, see if they're okay. You know, how's the family going? How's training going? And I've never even met these people. I've actually met a few of them at International Fight Week, which is pretty cool. We all got to hang out. But it's like you get these close relationships with people around the world that you've never met. And that's super cool. It's a small world that we play with your neighbor. Me and my brother, Evan, we play all the time. So, yeah, we probably end up playing together. We got the YouTube channel going on, which I didn't think – we were just doing that for the fun of it. I didn't think it was going to blow up like it is. But, we started literally a year ago, and we're at close to 300,000 subscribers at this point, having some fun with it and collabing with a lot of people. And there again, through that, had some, you know, made some good relationships, good friendships through it. So I love it, man. I think it's really cool.
You guys are entertaining, Sweet Tea, your father, yourself. You guys can do it all, man. And I'm not surprised whatsoever. And I remember when you were starting up that YouTube channel, and you're a great speaker. You got a great personality. And obviously, you're one hell of a fighter, so it all makes sense.
Shmo, that's an honor coming for you, man. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man. Well, I have to ask you this. I'd be stupid if I didn't, man. Who do you want to see in The Ultimate Fighter? We haven't had it announced yet. If it was up to you, who would be the two guys in The Ultimate Fighter? And you can't say yourself, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
Okay, like coaches? Like coaching it?
Coaches, yes.
I would love to see Stylebender against somebody. Stylebender's got a cool, pretty crazy... So who else?
Him versus Jan, even though it's the 205.
That would be awesome, right? I know there's some beef there, him coming up. But Stylebender's got this persona about him, and he's a good talker. He's an athlete. He's into everything, this guy. I think he would be super cool on the Ultimate Fighter series, being a coach for sure.
Well, speaking of Stylebender, though, Marvin Vettori, who's obviously fought him before, he fought Jack this weekend. What did you think of that outcome of the fight and Marvin's performance?
I thought it was very good. I thought, you know, for some reason, I had Hermanson winning that fight, before the fight happened. But he went out there and did some work, man, which was funny because the Friday before, I was on the UFC Twitch and we were talking with fans. We were watching those two fight, and both very similar fighters, and both have, submitted opponents with the same choke, that guillotine that these guys like to do. And I was wondering, you know, if one guy was going to submit the other with that same choke. Obviously it didn't happen, but I figured Hermanson was going to win it. I know he was the just from watching the fights, the aggressor, the more aggressive fighter, but man, he surprised me for sure. Came out with the win, man, got his hand raised, and now he could be fighting for a title next. You never know.
And I know you've been paying attention to the YouTubers boxing. I know you got a thing for Jake Paul, man. Him taking out, I guess, Nate Robinson. And now he's got his brother is fighting Floyd Mayweather. Man, what do you think of this whole thing, man? Boxing's a sport where the best fighters have not fought the best fighters, and they've opened themselves for business. I think Eddie Hearn was the first one with the Zone and everything, Match from Boxing, to allow these YouTubers to come in. Do you like this, man? Do you like these YouTubers entering boxing and getting the limelight here? Or do you think boxing's just a broken sport? I mean, what's your take on this?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you have real boxers, and then you have these guys that have retired, coming out of retirement just to make a little money fighting these YouTubers, you know? But you got to hand it to these guys like Jake and Logan Paul. These guys are making some money. You know what I'm saying? They're some money. So hats off to those guys, and they're young. They're in their 20s, maybe mid to late 20s. They're making money, but at the same time, me being a fighter, it doesn't look too good for these guys. It doesn't look too good for the Floyd Mayweathers and guys like that taking on these guys. It's just, I don't know. I don't see the honor in it. I don't see the honor in fighting guys who aren't at the same level. You know, you can go out there and make it look like it, but I don't think these guys are going to. Yeah, it just doesn't make boxing look too good, you know, for me, in my eyes. It's become another entertainment thing. Whatever fight has the most hype around it is the one they want to go for. It doesn't have to make sense at this point. So yeah, man, hats off to the Paul brothers. But, you know, to me, I don't think there's any honor and glory in that.
Well, in the UFC world, last week, Yoel was, he and the UFC parted ways. And then in the post-fight press conference, Dana White said that they're expecting about 60 more cuts to the roster by the end of the year. Does that surprise you to hear that, and the fact that Yoel is no longer in the UFC?
Yeah, that surprised me, because Yoel is a popular guy. He's a tough guy. and he's fought some of the best guys in the world. And I mean, look at the guys he's lost to. I mean, these guys are monsters. So it did surprise me a little bit. But you know, they're pushing this contender series, and they got a lot of guys coming in from that, which is why I think the UFC is so saturated with fighters at this point. So we'll see what the UFC does. We'll see who they cut. If they're willing to cut Yoel Romero, there's no telling who else they're gonna cut, you know. And it is what it is. The only thing you can do is move forward from it, you know, move on. I guess for me, if I'm not fighting for the UFC, you know, which I think is the best fighting promotion in the world, got some of the best fighters in the world. If it was me on the other end of that stick, if I was Romero, I would be done. You know, I got more things that I can do, like, you know, running the school and, of course, the YouTube, and which mean more to me than the fight game. I fight for the honor and the glory, and I love to compete, but my real love is teaching. So my mind's already made up. As long as I'm fighting, I'm going to keep fighting and fight my behind off. But until then, you know, got to give it my all, you know. I'll still be here teaching and still be a part of the martial arts. It's who I am.
Absolutely. And I do follow you on Twitter, and there's a huge debate lately, but I have to ask the nicest mother effer. You've tweeted before that you think Khabib is the number one ranked pound for pound, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on who you think the MMA GOAT is.
Wow, there's several of them out there. But for me, and this is just my opinion, because he was my inspiration to switch from kickboxing to MMA, spent a lot of time with this guy in Montreal, it would be George St. Pierre. That would be mine, just because I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for him and his knowledge and his inspiration. So to me, it would be GSP for sure.
Fantastic. Wonder Boy, we really appreciate you coming on the Schmo Zone podcast. You are the man. We will be at your fight December 19th. I mean, where can everybody follow you if they don't already? And they should be. If you're not following Wonder Boy, you need to be following Wonder Boy.
You got to be following me, guys. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Wonderboy MMA. Facebook, just Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Go follow my Twitch and YouTube channel. YouTube channel, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Schmo, you guys, I appreciate y'all, man. And hopefully we'll be able to chat in Vegas. We'll see you there, my friend.
We will see you in Vegas. We'll definitely chat. We'll see you at the weigh-ins. You are the man, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, on the Schmo Zone. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. You guys have a good one.
You Thank too. You. Take care. He's the nicest guy.
I know. I couldn't even cuss around him. I couldn't say nicest mother.
I had to just at the very beginning.
You could, but yeah.
I could. He even touched on it. We were getting into it right before he came on. We were getting into the YouTube boxers, the Jake Pauls, Logan Pauls. I like how he addressed it. You know, the honor thing, and couldn't have said it. You know, I kind of agree with him. It's an interesting era we're in right now.
Exactly. A lot of change coming.
Episode 45 of the Schmo Zone podcast. Final thoughts, Ellen?
Final thoughts is episode 45 already. It's been a interesting but decent year. We've done what we could.
Doing what we can. We're making it all happen. We appreciate you listening and tuning in. We'll try to make this as entertaining as possible. Going forward, we'll have some great guests coming up for the remainder of the month. This has been episode 45. We've only said it like 6 times.
Only.
Only. We are out.